724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve edition of It's Your Turn. It feels kind of like Friday today, don't you think? With the long holiday weekend coming up, most folks will be off for a few days. But it's Wednesday. I double-checked. It's Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. Hey, coming up on the program today, we're going to be talking about the fantastic activities that are going to be happening in downtown Butler this Saturday leading up to the Spirit of Christmas Parade. We're also going to be talking about tips for your house plants, keeping your plants healthy as we head into the winter season. And we're going to be talking about cardiovascular disease a little bit later on the program as well. But first, we welcome to our WISR It's Your Turn studio, the general manager of the Butler Radio Group, Vicki Hinterberger, is here. Vicki, good to see you.
Good afternoon, Dave. Thank you for having me on the show.
You and I were reminiscing for a couple of minutes before we went on the air here about how long the Butler Radio Group has been sponsoring the Spirit of Christmas Parade, and this is, what, 8 or 9 years now?
We're in our 8th year, hard as it may be to believe. Wow. We moved in here in 2012, and that was the first year that we took this huge project on. Mm-hmm. And it is an absolute mammoth project.
It is. It's big. And quite frankly, it's bigger than ever since we took it over, because the one big change we made, first of all, was move it to a nighttime parade instead of a morning parade.
And we did that because we wanted to make it more magical for the children, and it does make it special when you think about it. There's not a lot of evening parades, and the holidays are usually represented with lights, and we just thought it would make it a little bit more spectacular and an opportunity for people to see, you know, the downtown area at night, too.
It made it more spectacular, without question. I mean, I can remember the Spirit of Christmas Parade has been held for many years. The Downtown Butler Association, the old Downtown Butler Association, used to sponsor it. But it was always Friday morning,
right?
The day after Thanksgiving. And a lot of folks were still kind of bleary-eyed, you know, after Thanksgiving. And it was in the morning. A tremendous difference holding it in the evening, because all the floats are lit, and that's mandatory. If you're entering a float, it's got to be lit with all kind of lights and stuff.
That's part of the, I guess, mystique of the parade, and it's also something that we try and have so that it kind of showcases whatever they put their work into, too, because if it's better lit or lighted, whichever word's proper there, Mr. Grammar, we think that it shows up better on the video, too, because Armstrong, one of our partners, actually does help and videotapes the parade to show the shut-ins and broadcast so that people that can't get to the parade can see it. And if they're well-lighted with all the holiday lights, it makes it easier for the people to see.
Well, the transformation is magical. And by the way, the parade is no longer on Friday. It's Saturday evening, this Saturday, 2 days after Thanksgiving. And the parade starts at 5:30. And the magic happens as it begins to get dark, because all the parade folks, the people who entered floats, are putting them together and putting finishing touches on them in the staging area. And then it's getting a little darker and darker, and suddenly it's dark, and all the lights come on, and it's like a fairyland out there.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And a lot of organizations, individuals, and our staff pour their heart and soul into this event. If you see some of the scout troops and the organizations that are building their floats, it would be a lot of fun to do a behind-the-scenes tour sometime, Dave.
True. Yeah.
The people really do put a lot of energy, effort, creativity, and time.
Well, they plan them, they come up with a design, and then they build whatever they're going to build. Some of them are incredibly elaborate, and then they have to kind of take them apart and get them ready to transport downtown, and then assemble them again on their movable platform, their float, for the parade. But listen, the parade is the highlight for sure, Saturday evening. But my goodness gracious, there's stuff happening all day downtown on Saturday.
There truly is. This is the 55th annual Spirit of Christmas Parade. And because it is located in a downtown area, and because it's Small Business Saturday, we host activities in the downtown area from noon to four. And our concept is we want to be supportive of all things local. And we have outdoor activities and we have children's activities. But all of this would not be possible without our partnership with People's Gas. People's Gas has been incredibly supportive. And I want to thank them as well as their local contact person, Bev Wogan, for all the support she's given us. They've rolled out the red carpet. They support us with all of our different endeavors. And this year, the majority of the activities are located adjacent to the People's Gas building on Main Street in the parking lot beside People's Gas, so that all the different things that we have outdoors for children, such as the skating rink, the giant snow globe that you can go inside and get your picture taken in, all that is located in their parking lot.
Now, some folks might be saying, skating rink? There's going to be a skating rink? It's kind of...
it's a pseudo.
Well, it's neat because it's... it's a synthetic surface that you can skate on. For goodness. I mean, and you use real ice skates, right?
Yes, you use skates that they bring with it with them. The unit that we have rented for the event, and the children as well as if adults want to do it as well. There are free skates for everyone. They can go onto this synthetic surface. And this year, we also have some of the Butler High hockey team who are going to be on hand to help the littler ones maybe adjust and learn how to actually move their feet on this synthetic surface. So it's a great opportunity, and many thanks to People's Gas for helping make this possible. A lot of people would never have had the opportunity to even try something like that had it not been for People's Gas.
Is there a cost to skate?
Nope, everything is free, and that's all courtesy of People's Gas. In addition, we have the Turkey Hill Giant Cow, and there's free ice cream samples. And then we also have the Transit Authority in the parking lot with us, and they have their Santa bus, and you can bring a toy and donate a toy to help stuff the bus.
The Santa bus is always a treat, and that giant cow, when it comes rolling into town,
it's funny.
Semi-tractor trailer, that's always a treat, too. And by the way, Turkey Hill ice cream is fantastic.
It's
really, really good.
Right. And the donated toys for Stuff the Bus, the toys and clothing are for local children. I just want to stress that it does stay locally, and it is through the it's a cooperative effort through the Salvation Army. Okay.
Tell our listeners about this giant snow globe. Because that's something that people probably haven't seen.
No, and it's an inflatable snow globe, Dave. It's quite large in size. I'm going to guesstimate it's probably 12 to 15 feet, and it's like a snow globe. You know, when you were a child and you shook the little snow globe?
Shook it up, yeah.
But it's a giant snow globe, and you can step inside, and then your family can take your picture from the outside of you. And it'd be a cute Christmas card if you wanted to. And it's just something fun that, that People's Gas supports so we can provide for our community.
Hey, it's fun to get your picture taken in strange situations.
In snow globe.
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. In addition, this year, for several years, the petting zoos were all busy. And this year, we got a petting zoo back again. So I'm delighted to announce to our listeners that you can come see some of the local animals. A lot of children don't get the chance to see farm animals. Mm-hmm. And we're providing the petting zoo this year, courtesy of Rural King. They're the ones who helped to underwrite the cost of the petting zoo. So we're glad to have that back. The other thing that we offer is, and we have a free hot cocoa stand at the fire station. And we do it there for a number of reasons. One, we want children to get used to being comfortable being with the firemen. Mm-hmm. We have our own staff there, but then if the firemen are there, they can talk to the children to help them. So in case they ever have to be in a situation that they're more comfortable with the fire.
Good idea.
Fire people.
Yeah.
So that is located at the Butler City Fire Station. Okay.
And all of this is free too?
Yep. Everything's all free.
You got your hot cocoa for nothing.
Yes, exactly. Now, one of the things that we do is that if there's a large family, it's we try and do something so it's affordable for everyone, for the entire family. So the next one is we have children's activities with the Butler Public Library. And we have the library brimming with activities. The best way to say it is that we have little stations, and at these little booths, there's an opportunity for children to write a letter to Santa or perhaps write a letter to a soldier to thank them for their service. In addition, we have some, because our theme this year is a storybook Christmas, we have some more educational type activities. There's for the youngsters, we have a couple different things. We have an alphabet soup name where they can pull their the letters out of a pot of letters and spell their name from the letters that are in there. And then we have another one where there's little soup cans, and inside there are, let's say, day for you, everything D. It would be a dog, the letter, and there are about 5 to 7 different things that have that letter on it. And so we mix those up, and then the kids can put them into the right little soup can. So it's just something fun, but it also teaches them, shows them that learning can be fun, too.
And the library, of course, for folks out of town, never been there, it's right downtown. It's a half a block off Main Street. I mean, if you're at the ice skating rink or the snow globe right beside People's, you're looking right at the library. It's right next door.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the way, I know a lot of people maybe don't get to a library anymore, but it's a wonderful resource for our town, and we're very lucky and blessed to still have a public library. A lot of towns aren't as fortunate as us. And we are grateful to them for the hospitality, for allowing us to basically take over the library that day, because we will be in all different quadrants of the library. And then for the older kids, for the younger kids, we have the skill games. We have a couple word searches that have to do with the holidays and some word scramble letters and things like that. And then we have the traditional fun games, which are like a snowball toss, ring toss, things like that, that are all holiday-oriented. And then each child, each time they play the game, they get a prize, and children play each game once. But this year we have something new. We have the Carnegie Science Center coming. We've orchestrated them coming so that we can do a craft with them. And they are going to do a robot bookmarker craft.
Get out.
Yeah, sounds fun, huh?
And robotics. Kids are into robots like crazy these days.
Exactly. So they will be there on hand from 1 to 4 p.m. in the Butler Public Library. Okay. In addition, story time with Mrs. Claus. She will be on hand because she has to get ready for the parade, but she'll be there from 12:30 to 2:30, and she'll be reading to the little wee ones. Then I think what was really nice, and that is that on behalf of the Butler Radio Network, as well as People's Gas, we are going to provide each child with a book. A age-appropriate book. And we have received some of the books courtesy of the United Way and a couple of their programs, but each child will leave there with an age-appropriate book. Isn't that a nice gesture?
And this is International Literacy Year, right?
Exactly. So, and I'm a big proponent of reading, and I know you love books just about as much as I do.
I love to read. Yeah.
When I have to part with a book, it hurts. So I'm not akin to reading in a Kindle yet. So I still like to touch and read a book. So this will hopefully foster a lifelong love of reading and learning if we can help children by giving them a book this holiday.
Well, my goodness, anybody that's bringing their kids downtown for the parade, and, you know, there are thousands of people that do that. Come early. Stop in at the library. Let the kids play the games. Did you say there's a station where they can get help writing a letter to Santa if they want to? Or get a free book. Do the craft with the Carnegie Science people, the robotic craft. My goodness, you certainly don't want the kids to miss that.
No, and that's why it takes an inordinate amount of people to put the program together. And sponsors, and I'd like to thank some of our other sponsors now.
Please do, yes.
Sure. In order to pull all of this off, we have both parade sponsors and supporters. I'd like to thank the law offices of Dillon, McCandless, King, Colder, and Graham. They oftentimes come through for us in many areas of the different nonprofit projects we take on for the good of the community. Shaner Automotive is our Santa sponsor. And then we have Applewood Chiropractic, Mary's Cake Candy and Party Supplies, Hutchison's Dry Cleaners, Mike Kelly for Congress, McCaskey Orthodontics, and the Alliance for Nonprofit Resources, who are all supportive of our project. which is just a major undertaking. And then I'd also like to thank our committee. We have a committee that works for several months ahead of time to help organize the parade.
They meet here, folks, and I can personally attest to this because sometime in mid-January they'll get together to kind of recap the parade for this year, and then they start planning already for just like the Rose Parade Committee. You're meeting almost all year long getting ready for the next one.
We do. I mean, that's because we want to make sure if there's anything that needs addressed immediately, we take care of it. And we want to make sure that we do the best we can for the community. The parade committee consists of Jimmy Chiprian, who has been on, I think, almost since, you know, he graduated from high school, college, whatever. And he's with Miller Shoes. We also have Sharon Schneider, who's affiliated not only with Schneider Heating and Air Conditioning, but she also is the organizer of the Hang Tough Stocking Program. Jim Thompson from Hardinger and the local Rotary, and then Matt Lutz from Armstrong, who helps both in the orchestration of the broadcast that day and some of the other logistics in helping us to provide a good video for the program. Mm-hmm. The other volunteers we have to do with our judges. And Dave, you've been a judge, and you can attest to how hard it is to judge these.
I've been a judge for many years.
I want to thank our friends at Fisher Service Station who allow us to have the judges get onto a flatbed truck.
It's our judges' platform.
Yes.
well, you got it. We have to be up above all the people that lining Main Street so you can see the floats, you know.
And so our judges, Dave Himes, Holly Wilson, Jeff Double, and Elizabeth Short, who volunteer their time. And it is no easy task to judge these floats because it's challenging to balance the nuances of each float, and the quality is unbelievable. And I want to let the communities know that are participating because they're the sponsor, are not eligible to win this year. They have done some spectacular, to use the word again, spectacular. Mm-hmm. They have done some remarkable floats over the past several years. But they are not eligible to win any of the prizes this year. So we are delighted to have about 60 different groups in the three categories, commercial, nonprofit, and an open category. And all these floats are judged on creativity, originality, and the use of lights.
Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, I've judged for several years in the past, and this is a very careful consideration. The judges all gather in the staging areas during the mid-afternoon, and we start to, you know, some of the folks have already got their float pretty well put together. Others are working on it. In some cases, there are costumed people involved, and we go around and judge all that during the daylight hours. And then there's another round of judging once it gets dark and all the lights come on, because a lot of the floats look a lot different when they're all lit up at night. So there's careful consideration given on the part of the judges.
And the other person or organization that I would like to give a big thank you to is the Butler City Police, because the traffic flow is disrupted, and it's never easy keeping everybody happy. And you can't, as you well know, Dave's rolling his eyes. It's difficult. So I thank them for their cooperation throughout the process.
This is a big parade, 60 units.
Yes.
It takes a while to roll 60 units up Main Street.
And then the nonprofit group CB Rangers also pitches in, and they're an invaluable resource to us as well because they do sometimes what all the city police can't get to. So
we will mention that the parade goes on regardless of the weather. Sometimes it's dry, sometimes it isn't. We've had snow, we've had drizzle, we've had chilly temperatures, we've had mild temperatures. Doesn't matter. If it's a little chilly, dress in layers. But the parade goes, rain or shine, at 5:30. Well, it won't be shine because...
No, Dave.
Well, it's after dark. I mean, it's all the floats are lit, so it has to be after dark, you know. So 5:30, right?
Parade that is time. Correct, Dave.
Now, just to go over the times for all of the other activities, because that's going to take place obviously before the parade, and that wraps up a little bit before parade time, right?
That is correct, Dave. Thank you. We have these outdoor activities between noon and 4, and the majority of them are located in the parking lot of People's Gas, which is on Main Street, adjacent to their building. And then we also have the children's activities inside the Butler Public Library between the hours of noon and 4. And the reason we do those hours is so that we can get everything done, and then as the station staff, we then have to assume our responsibilities for the parade. So that gives us time to clean up these other elements and then get ready for the start of the 5:30 parade.
Mm-hmm. So. It's a big day this Saturday, 2 days after Thanksgiving, the 55th Annual Spirit of Christmas Parade, sponsored by the Butler Radio Group. And the theme this year, can't wait to see the floats because it's a great theme, a storybook Christmas.
Do you know what our theme is for ours? Do you know yet?
I do not.
Have you
been keeping it a secret?
Yes.
Or what?
We're doing The Wizard of Oz by Frank Baum.
Ah.
It's a storybook Christmas, and our theme is A Wizard of Oz. Wait till you see some of the characters in costume we have for you, Dave.
So the Tin Man might look a little bit different from the
yes.
Judy Garland thing?
Yes. Yes. And we will have everything from the flying monkeys to the Tin Man. We have Dorothy, and we have the Scarecrow. We have the Wicked Witch. And who am I forgetting? The Lion. We have the Cowardly Lion, too.
Oh,
we have
yes.
a lion, too. So, okay.
Can't wait to see it.
Just teasing. All right. Hope to see everybody there. And a special thanks to the staff here. They give up valuable family time to make this a possibility for this community. So I salute them and thank them for their efforts.
Well, I hope everybody comes downtown. And remember, it's all free.
Yeah.
All activities are free and open to the public this Saturday, starting at 12 noon. Thanks, Vicki. Vicki Hinterberger, General Manager of the Butler Radio Group. Thanks for stopping in here today.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel like Friday instead of Wednesday?
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving.
Just a reminder, folks, for those of you who have responsibilities in the Thanksgiving kitchen tomorrow morning, if you're going to be up early getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner, join us here at WISR. I'll be here to help you along with the chores on Thanksgiving morning, starting at 5:30 tomorrow morning. So you're welcome to join. Hope you can join us if you get up early. You know, there are a lot of folks who, even though they have a day off, they still wake up at the same time they ordinarily do, so they're up and around. Tune us in. We'll be here tomorrow morning here on WISR. Okay, we've got to take a break. We're going to be talking about keeping your house plants healthy during the winter months. They're not out on the patio anymore, right? Yeah, you had to bring them inside. We'll talk with plant expert Leslie Halleck coming up here on It's Your Turn in just a few minutes. We have a few messages to get to you, and then we'll be talking with Leslie coming up. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Shopping for a mortgage? Don't just compare the mortgage rates. At Armco Credit Union, they'll not only offer a competitive rate, but they may be able to save you money with lower fees and closing costs. Whether you're looking for a VA, FHA, or conventional loan, they're here to help guide you through the mortgage process so you can make the best decision for your situation. Call today, 724-284-2020. Don't have time to call or visit? Apply for a mortgage online at armcocu.com. Like them on Facebook and be the first to learn about their promotions or events. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
Hop the bus, leave. Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. All of us listeners, I think, have to deal with problems with houseplants every once in a while. We're going to talk about that on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I'm Dave Mularkey, and our guest joins us by telephone, Leslie Halleck, who is the author of a marvelous new book called Plant Parenting. Leslie, nice to have you with us. I've been looking forward to chatting with you for a few minutes here today.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on, and any chance I get to talk about plants, I'm in. So happy to be here.
Well, the subtitle of your book is Easy Ways to Make More Houseplants, Vegetables, and Flowers. Let's talk about houseplants first of all. I think most folks have at least a couple. I happen to have many. I love plants indoors, but it can be a struggle sometimes, right? What are some of the typical problems that we face trying to keep houseplants healthy?
Well, I think a lot of beginning houseplant keepers struggle with things like figuring out where to put plants so they get enough light. You know, that's, I see, a common problem is just understanding, you know, light and where to put certain plants. And then, of course, once you bring plants inside, and you know this if you also garden outside, pest and disease issues are really different indoors than they are outdoors. And all of a sudden, things like mealybugs and spider mites can just explode on indoor houseplants, especially if they're stressed. And so, you know, certainly there are a number of things that you want to do to be able to take care of that as naturally as you can. So learning how different plants grow in different environments is always key to making sure they stay really vigorous and healthy so that they don't succumb to those disease and pest problems, you know. And then, of course, learning how to water properly, which is different for every plant. But certainly, you know, just like the outdoor garden, your indoor garden is a living organism and things change all the time. So it's always a fun challenge, I think, to get to know your plants.
Speaking of watering, there's actually a danger in watering too much, as much a danger as not watering enough, correct?
Oh, sure. In fact, most houseplant keepers, especially beginners, often succumb to, you know, death by water with their plants overwatering because, you know, they're trying to be, you know, a thoughtful plant parents, right, and take care of their plants. And overwatering tends to be a problem, especially if there are lower light levels, right? So the lower the light, the less, you know, water uptake those plants can really manage with photosynthesis. And so it's easy to overwater. But then when you're talking about propagation, which is what I focus on mostly with the book Plant Parenting, there are also ways to propagate using just water. And it's the trick of knowing, you know, how long to leave your cuttings in water and when to transplant so they don't suffocate, you know, or have problems transplanting is also key when learning how to manage water when you're propagating.
Well, this has always been mystifying to me. As I mentioned, I have quite a few houseplants, but I am by no means an expert. If you are going to propagate, take a cutting, you make a cutting and stick it in a mug of water. So, mm-hmm. You know, my first thought would be maybe that's too much water. Do you need a little dirt in there? Or should you just actually put a cutting in water alone for a while?
It really depends on which plant you're trying to propagate. And so the beginning chapter of the book, I start out explaining how plants multiply, you know, how they naturally propagate themselves, right? And it's different for every species of plant. Some plants, tropicals, that the types you typically grow as houseplants that are endemic to areas with high moisture and high humidity, are able to put on adventitious roots directly in water pretty easily. You know, you think your classic pothos ivy or philodendron. So water rooting is really an acceptable way to root cuttings of a number of plants that don't mind all that extra moisture, and they will develop certain types of root structures that are able to take oxygen in from above the water level. Some other types of cuttings, like say you're going to take a cutting from, you know, your fruit tree or a plant that's sort of semi-woody, oftentimes you could struggle with trying to water root them. So sometimes a potting mix or an inert, you know, rooting substrate is going to be a better option for something that takes a little longer to root. What I always say when you're propagating is that it's really a race to root before you rot. So some plants are going to rot before they root if you put them in water, and other plants, you know, like many tropicals, are going to root very quickly and very easily.
What about spider plants? I know that's the common name, not the scientific name, but a lot of folks have spider plants indoors.
Sure, chlorophytum, that's the genus on that plant. Or sometimes we used to call them airplane plants, and I think that's making a comeback too. That's probably one of the easiest. They create what we call little propagules, little plantlets that sprout right off the end of a flowering stem, and you can just snip those off and you can just pop them straight up. You usually don't even have to put them in water. So that's probably a great gateway plant, if you will, for a lot of beginners that are looking to try propagation for the first time, for sure. Very easy to grow and very easy to propagate.
What about something that's commonly called elephant ear? I have no idea what the genus name is, but you see that in a lot of homes too.
Yeah, and basically, you know, that's a plant that we often grow outdoors in warmer climates, you know, as a big tuber, and they make big elephant, you know, shaped ear leaves. And usually, you know, because those come from a big, you know, tuber-like structure, you're usually not going to take cuttings off of a plant like that. They're generally not going to root for you the same way that you might take a cutting off of a philodendron. But they will form clumps that can be divided. So if you're talking about getting into the outdoor garden with propagation, I do cover things like dividing perennials and dividing other plants that you might want to lift from the garden. I talk about bulb division. So if you're looking to propagate, you know, from your hyacinth or any other bulbs you have in the garden, there's lots of different ways to do that. So you have to get to know the structure of the type of plant you want to propagate to figure out the right way to propagate it, because the same methods don't work for every plant, for sure.
And you talk about this in some great detail in your book, Leslie Halleck. The book is entitled Plant Parenting, if you're just joining us. Extensive advice on even how to do things like stem tip cutting and how to properly prepare to make a cutting, right?
I cover everything you need to know about all the different types of vegetative cutting. So I cover seeds and all the different techniques that you need to learn depending on what types of seeds you're trying to germinate or prepare. And then I also cover vegetative cutting. So I break down all the different types of basic cuttings that you would take off of a plant, whether it be a tropical or a garden plant. And I took a lot of pictures for this book because a lot of the propagation books out on the market tend to be a little dry and technical, if you will. You know, they appeal a little bit more to professionals or really serious gardeners. And I wanted to create something that was really accessible and easy to follow for anybody, no matter their level of propagation experience, even if they're a total beginner. So I took a lot of pictures that show you step-by-step how to take all of these different cuttings from different types of plants, and then you can practice with that and learn and then evolve that to other plants that you might want to try to propagate.
Trust me, listeners, there are hundreds of beautiful color pictures in this book, as Leslie was talking about, including something that I'd never seen before, the concept of using yellow sticky paper stuck on a stick in the pot of a houseplant to catch bugs. This works pretty well, I guess, huh, Leslie?
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, so if you're in the industry, if you're a professional like me in the industry and you've grown in greenhouses, you know that yellow sticky traps are one of your best friends, and you can use them with your houseplants. So if you've ever had an infestation of those pesky fungus gnats or whiteflies, you know, which we've all experienced on plants in the house, sort of your first line of defense of getting rid of all those adults are these yellow sticky traps. And it's a little bit brutal if you think about it. They are little yellow cards that have an adhesive on both sides, and you can hang them near your houseplants, and then those flying insects fly around, stick to the paper, and obviously you know, pass over the rainbow bridge, if you will, you know, so it takes care of those adults. And then you can treat the plant, you know, using something like an insecticidal soap or a horticultural oil to, you know, keep knocking out the next couple of generations that hatch out. But yellow sticky cards are a great way, especially for fungus gnats, you know, that are really annoying, to, you know, capture those adults and get rid of them.
I've noticed in some garden shops and greenhouses and so on that they use something like to spray the plants with. You can sometimes see a little bit of residue from that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to do that at home? Can you do that at home?
Sure, and I always recommend using sort of the lowest impact treatment. If you have to resort to a sprayer treatment, obviously, if you're talking about house plants, these plants are in your house, so you don't really want to use something that, you know, is going to be toxic. There are products called insecticidal soaps and horticultural oils that are generally very effective at handling a lot of the pests that you have on indoor household plants, like mealybugs and things like that, that can help you get rid of it without, you know, a lot of toxic residue. It essentially breaks down the waxy protective coating on these insects, and that eventually kills them. And so, yes, that white residue that you might often see on plants may be from something like an insecticidal soap or an oil. You might have heard of neem oil. That's a type of horticultural oil that's used to treat pests. So you certainly can use these at home to treat some of those kind of annoying infestations you might get.
We're talking with Leslie Halleck, author of a wonderful, informative, and actually very beautiful, a new book entitled Plant Parenting. You have a whole section of your book, Leslie, that you dedicate to starting your seeds. How to start annuals, perennials, and edibles from seed. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know a lot of folks around here, avid gardeners, like to start tomatoes from seeds, you know, during the late winter time.
Absolutely. I would say that once we hit about August, we head into what I call kind of prime indoor gardening zone, and that's when a lot of people in colder climates are going to starting things a lot of indoors, you know, for their indoor garden, and those of us that are in warmer climates might be starting extra starts for the fall garden. You know, we grow through the winter. So seed starting is definitely a great way to, number one, stretch your gardening budget. Well, taking cuttings is too. So any form of plant propagation is a great way to stretch your budget. And also, if you love to grow edibles, starting from seed is a great way to be able to grow some varieties that you can't get at the garden center, you know, when you want them. So certain heirloom tomatoes and things like that, you might only be able to grow those from seed. And while seed starting seems like the easy place to start for a lot of gardeners, and you may know this, starting seeds indoors comes with some specific challenges. And those that are beginner seed starters often experience, you know, some failure, and that can be discouraging. So there's a couple of key things that I talk about in the book, and it is, one, how to prepare different types of seeds. Certain seeds need certain preparation methods that you might not be aware of in order to germinate properly, or else they might never germinate. And then light, environmental conditions, and watering. I would say that a lack of light is probably where most seed starters fail. Seedlings really require a lot of intense light. And if you really want to dig into indoor grow lighting, my previous book, Gardening Under Lights, goes into all the details. But in Plant Parenting, I do give you a section on how to light your seedlings, which is really an important factor in making sure that you get those really great tomato transplants, right, for your spring garden.
Some folks will take houseplants outdoors during the warm weather months, spring and summer, and then bring them back indoors in the fall. Are there any particular concerns or tips that you need to do if you do that?
Well, I think that's a great way to give your houseplants a little summer vacation, is to set them outside during the warmer season, especially if you've had some pest problems. So that's usually a recommendation I make, that if somebody's got mealybugs or spider mites on their plant, an outside break is a great way to help resolve that. So that's a nice thing to do. And then, you know, the biggest, I think, transition that plants are going to make from outside to inside is going to be the light changes, right? So depending on where they were in your home before you put them outside, and then how much light they were getting outside, sometimes when you bring them back in, the conditions are darker and you may start to lose some foliage, right? So paying attention to the light levels. You might consider adding a grow light into the house if you're struggling with that. If the plants have been getting more light outside, you know, than they were in the home, then grow lights can help you keep those plants happy and healthy through the winter until you might be ready to put some, you know, back outdoors again in the spring or summer.
There's even a section on tools for houseplants, something called a dibber. I'd never heard that word before, and you even have a picture of one, a dibber. What's a dibber, Leslie?
Oh, a dibber is great. So I love cool gardening tools, and there are all sorts of tools, both very traditional and very new and technological and fun. You can do a lot of propagation and planting with just things you have around the house. You can certainly DIY it, but then if you like cool tools, something like a dibber is a great way to make transplanting your seedlings and small cuttings easy. It's basically kind of like a wooden dowel that is graduated and it's narrowed down to a point. And usually they come with little measurement marks on them, and they make a nice little divot right in the soil for you when you're transplanting your seedlings. So you can just use that dibber to make a nice little hole in that pot or out in the garden to drop your seedling or transplant in. Without having to dig. So there's lots of handy little tools that you can use to make your propagation and your planting faster and easier.
What if there's somebody that's just getting ready to move into their first apartment or house and they want to load up with houseplants? What are a couple of the easiest houseplants to grow?
Oh gosh! Well, I'm always gonna say a pothos ivy is probably, or the chlorophytum, the airplane spider plant we talked about earlier. Those are two really easy plants to grow. Philodendrons are great for beginners. VZ plants are very easy, tough to grow. So some of the really Sansevieria snake plant, that's a great one. That one you can subject to a lot of abuse before they will go out on you. So some of those really tough standard foliage house plants are a great place for beginners to start. And once you get more experience and you keep those plants alive and they're happy, then you generally start getting into things like more funky succulents and things like that.
And there are plants that are very tough to grow indoors. I can remember one time several years ago, I bought one of those little soft pine trees at Christmas time. I think they're called Norwegian. I'm not sure. I can't remember. They're beautiful, in a home and garden center. They're decorated. And I bought one. I said, oh, I'll just keep this, after Christmas time.
Sure.
And it wasn't too long before all the needles fell off. And then I read later about this that that's a particular type of plant that's almost impossible to keep indoors unless you have controlled humidity and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's essentially a tree, right? It's a type of pine tree, and certain trees simply are not going to thrive indoors. Not every plant is going to thrive indoors. They'll dry out very quickly. There's not enough light, and some species of plants require dormancies, right? They aren't going to get indoors, and so they may just continue to go into decline. But when you're running an HVAC system in your house and it dries out the air, plants like that can dry out very, junipers and pines. So, when you buy juniper bonsai, that's another one people really struggle with. And they'll dry out on you and completely die, but they're still green. And a lot of people still think they're alive. But then when they walk up and touch the needles, they just are brittle and fall off. So water, humidity, light, and dormancy are really important to some plants. And that can make them really tricky to try to grow inside. You're better off keeping those in containers outdoors.
Our time begins to run short. You have a section in your book called How to Take a Rhizome Cutting. What the heck is a rhizome, Leslie?
Gosh, well, there are all different structures of a plant, right? You have stems, you have leaves, you have rhizomes, you have roots. So a rhizome is basically sort of a modified tissue that grows kind of under the soil or sometimes just above the soil that can shoot out and eventually be able to produce a new bud shoot and make a new plant. And you can take advantage of plants that have rhizomes by snipping those off and rooting them and growing a whole new plant, just like you can with a stem cutting or a leaf petiole cutting or a root cutting. And I show you step by step in the book how to take all of those different types of cuttings. But again, it's going to go back to that particular species of plant and how it grows, as to figure out whether you can or can't do that.
Leslie Hollick, listeners, is a dedicated horticulturist, a master's degree in horticulture from Michigan State, and she is the author of this really wonderful new book, beautiful book, called Plant Parenting. And Leslie, for goodness sakes, this book would be great for a seasoned gardener or even a complete beginner. Anyone could learn from this, right?
That was the goal, is I wanted it to be accessible to everybody, no matter their level, and I really wanted it to be, like you said, attractive and fun to look at and easy to follow for all of your fun DIY propagation projects.
It's pretty enough that it could be a coffee table book, for goodness sakes. Just leave
Why,
it out.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Leave it out for guests to take a look at, too. Plant Parenting is the title of the book. The author, Leslie Halleck. Leslie, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Likewise. Thanks so much for having me.
Sure. So long now. Still more to come on the It's Your Turn program on this Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. We're coming up on 1:15 in the afternoon now. And by the way, the temperature has indeed reached 60 degrees, which is just what the weather folks told us would happen. We'd get up to around 60 in the early afternoon, and then things would start to change. The temperature would gradually begin to drop, and it's going to be much, much chillier tonight and tomorrow. Also, very windy, wind gusts this afternoon and overnight, maybe as high as 45 miles an hour. So keep that in mind. Hopefully, no widespread power outages, but that is certainly a possibility with that kind of wind gust alert. There is an advisory, a wind advisory, posted until 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Also, scattered showers, and we've seen those actually overnight, early this morning, and later in the day they come and go, just enough to be a nuisance and give us some damp roads and some puddles. They'll continue, and then once it gets cold enough, late tonight, maybe after midnight, some of those chilly showers may mix with or change to snow showers. There's even a slight chance of a stray lingering snow shower first thing tomorrow morning, Thanksgiving morning. But the National Weather Service says little or no accumulation is expected. It will be getting colder, though. Temperatures dropping down into the lower end of the 30s overnight. And then a high tomorrow, Thanksgiving afternoon, only in the low 40s at best. And cloudy, too. Forecast for the rest of the holiday weekend. A lot of folks will be traveling, going hither and yon. Friday's a big shopping day. Friday's forecast, mostly cloudy, with temperatures in the low 40s on a Friday afternoon. There's a possibility of some showers, rain showers here and there, Saturday and on Sunday. Temperatures will be in the 40s both days. And our current temperature here in Butler is now 60 degrees. Not much sunshine today. We saw a little bit here and there during the later morning hours, but a lot of gray clouds, and keep the umbrella handy, too. Well, there's still more to come on It's Your Turn today. We're going to be talking next about cardiovascular disease with Dr. Wayne Batchelor, MD, so hope you can stick around for that. It's coming up here on It's Your Turn on WISR for a Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
The Butler Little Theater presents live on stage The Language Archive, November 29th through December 7th. This quirky comedy concerns a linguist who's studying dying languages in different cultures but is unable to come up with the right words to say to his wife to keep her from leaving him. For ticket information, you can go online at bltgroup.org or check the Butler Little Theater Facebook page, or call to reserve tickets evenings between 7 and 9 p.m. 287-6781. Don't miss The Language Archive at the Butler Little Theater.
Hi, this is Mrs. Claus, and I'd like to invite you to join in on the Hang Tough Stocking Stuffed with Love and Care project. It's really quite simple. All you have to do is go shopping, buy a stocking, and stuff it with items that a male or female cancer patient could use. Have have this done by December 1st. You can be as unique and creative as you'd like. However, there is a full list of recommended items online at butlerradio.com. If you need some inspiration and encouragement, just talk to your friends and neighbors. They've probably already stuffed a stocking. This is a great project for all co-workers, neighbors, friends, relatives. Just deliver your stuffed stocking once again by December 1st to either the Butler Radio Network on Pillow Street or Schneider's 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning on Unionville Road. Be part of the Hang Tough Stocking Project to help create cheer and bring smiles to all. My elves and I will be very busy delivering the stockings to all the patients in Butler County in mid-December. So come on, let's hang tough, because together we can be tougher than cancer.
Other drop-off locations include Robert Stevens Custom Jewelers on 114 North Main Street in Butler, State Representative Marcy Mostello's office on Perrix Road, and Double Image Styling Salon in Bon Air Plaza.
Going to be talking, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about cardiovascular disease, leading cause of death and disability among all Americans. Our guest speaking with us by telephone is cardiologist Dr. Wayne Batchelor. You know, there's a misconception, doctor, that cardiovascular disease affects primarily older white men. In fact, the truth is the risks are much higher for African Americans, right?
Yes, that's absolutely true. You know, heart disease is by far the number one cause of death in the United States and across the world. One in four deaths in the United States are related to cardiovascular disease. And every year, about over 700,000 Americans will have a heart attack and a good number of strokes, too. So this is a huge problem. What I think we're referring to in this disparity question is the fact that African Americans are actually at higher risk than other groups in developing heart disease. And they often develop heart disease at a younger age, and it has a longer time to play out in their lives. So it's a very important topic related to disparities.
Do we have any idea why this disparity exists, doctor?
Well, I think, as with many complicated phenomena, it's more than one thing. The risk factors for heart disease tend to be more prevalent in African Americans, including things like diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, lack of exercise. Smoking is a big problem, although smoking affects our various subgroups across our country. Genetics may play a role. And then finally, socioeconomics may play a role. You know, we're starting to sort of peel the onion further and find out that you're also more likely to have a heart attack and die of a heart attack if you're in a lower socioeconomic stratum. And this is probably playing out in African Americans to some degree, the stressors of just living in poverty and without good health care access.
We use heart disease as kind of a catch-all term, cardiovascular disease or heart disease. There are actually many forms, are there not?
Yes, there are several forms of heart disease, you know, and when your listeners need to be aware, the most common cause of heart disease is what we call coronary artery disease. This is sort of cholesterol or plaque buildup that occurs in the blood vessels that supply the heart with oxygen and nutrients. And when those blood vessels block up, it can lead to heart damage, heart muscle damage, heart attack, and death and heart failure. But there are other types of heart disease that are very important. Congestive heart failure, which is a syndrome of shortness of breath, fatigue, due to poor output from the heart, either due to a stiffening of the heart or due to damage of the heart muscle. And then there's a form of heart disease called valvular heart disease, where the valves that allow appropriate blood flow to go through the heart chambers in the right direction become diseased and either narrowed or become leaky. And that is another very important form of heart disease that we could talk about, and it's very important.
Well, let's specifically talk about coronary artery disease. If you're diagnosed with that, how is that treated, doctor?
Well, the first thing to do is understand the severity of the condition. So coronary disease can be treated in very conservative fashions that relate solely to lifestyle modification. Most patients who are diagnosed with coronary disease will end up taking aspirin and what's called a statin, or a medication to reduce cholesterol, because even if your cholesterol is normal, it should be lowered if you have coronary disease. Studies have shown patients do better. There are a whole host of other medications that sometimes need to come into play depending on your risk factors, your blood pressure, if your diet needs to be treated, if you're diabetic, that needs to be addressed. And then there are sophisticated, more high-tech ways of dealing with the disease. If you've got a blockage, many times patients can get what's called a coronary stent implanted to relieve the blockage and improve blood flow, which oftentimes can relieve symptoms and improve the quality of life of patients. Finally, bypass surgery or coronary artery bypass surgery is another modality where you have to have open heart surgery to get these obstructions relieved by bypassing around them. So there are a lot of really very effective ways to deal with the condition if it's diagnosed and treated appropriately.
When patients are speaking with their doctor about heart disease, what are the top two questions they should ask, Dr. Batchelor?
Well, I always recommend that patients ask their physician, what is my risk of heart disease? Have an idea. Are you at a high, are you in a high-risk group? Are you in a low-risk group or moderate? And your doctor should be able to give you a general idea of what your risk is. And if you're in a moderate or high-risk group, really, it's crucial that you pay extreme attention to the things we've discussed, your risk factors. Ask your doctor what those risk factors are. And the next question is, how can I reduce my risk? You know, everyone's a little bit different, and the risk factors that they carry are going to be slightly different. So the approaches may differ between patients. Your doctor should be able to walk you through your risk, number one. Number two, how to decrease that risk. Because if you take care of this issue, you're much less likely to have a heart attack and be suffering the ill effects of that later on.
Is cardiovascular disease also related to stroke?
Yes, it is. And stroke is a very, very important part of cardiovascular disease. It's one of the most significant causes of long-term health care in our country. It causes tremendous economic stressors on society and on families. It's a debilitating condition. And in terms of disparities, stroke is much more prevalent in African Americans. And so it's a very important thing for African Americans to ask questions about and try to prevent, especially as it relates to high blood pressure. High blood pressure drives stroke a little bit more than some of the other risk factors. So if you have high blood pressure, try to get it controlled, and especially if you're African-American, get it addressed, because African-Americans have a higher risk of stroke, even with the same high blood pressure as other groups.
A little bit about our guest, Dr. Wayne Batchelor. Our listeners, he got his B.A. and his Doctorate of Medicine degrees, summa cum laude, at Queen's University in Ontario. And Dr. Batchelor is the incoming director of the Interventional Cardiology and Interventional Cardiology Research at Inova Heart and Vascular Institute in Virginia. He served on the medical faculty at the University of Toronto and also at Florida State University, and he's been a practicing interventional cardiologist as well. Doctor, one final question. Is there somewhere where our listeners can go to find out more about what we've been talking about here today?
Yeah, there are a host of websites that can point you in a good direction. I would recommend the hearthealthybeats.com website. Again, it's hearthealthybeats.com. It's a website developed by Boston Scientific that is for professionals, healthcare professionals, and patients. The patients can go on there and really get a lot of really good information about heart disease, diet, interventional therapies that are available, lifestyle modification, etc. The Association of Black Cardiologists also has a very good website for those interested in understanding more about disparities, and that can be easily accessed under abcardio.org. So, again, hearthealthybeats.com or the Association of Black Cardiologists are good starting points.
Our guest, cardiologist Dr. Wayne Batchelor. Thank you, Doctor. Very informative today. Nice to talk with you, sir.
Thank you.
In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Goin Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time. I'm trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. with Gallen Postal Butler. I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Gallen Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Gallen Postal Butler.
Tobacco for Less is perfect if you like to think big. Tobacco for Less is Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium, which has hundreds of glass pipes, a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a huge selection of cigars, and a 19-foot vape juice bar. They're always stocked with standard tobacco products, and their health and wellness department maintains a wide selection of CBD products. Tobacco for Less is always expanding and adding to their product lines. Be sure to check out their Sharon location that has just added a large health and wellness department. Stop by one of their locations in Butler, Sharon, or Aliquippa for all your smoking and vaping needs.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
WISR time is 1:30. You're listening to WISR 680 in Butler, and we wish a very happy wedding anniversary today, very special one, 65th wedding anniversary for Jim and Peggy Hutchinson. How about that? 65 years of marriage today. That's wonderful. Happy anniversary, Jim and Peggy Hutchinson from Hutchinson's Cleaners here in Butler.
She stays, love grows under my umbrella. All that summer we enjoyed it, wind and rain and shine. That umbrella we employed it, by August she was mine. Every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. Sometimes she'd shop and she would show me what she. All the people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the same. That's the way the whole thing started, silly but it's true. Thinking of a sweet romance beginning in a Sunday ice was melting, no more sheltering now.